All right. Well, I was going to use a tongue-in-cheek joke about, you know, sometimes there's these mornings where things just come together. The person who's sharing with communion just really dovetails well with the person who's given the message. But I'm not going to make that joke. So, Merry Christmas. Welcome. We're going to be spending the next 3 weeks looking through this lens that we've been going through with identity, but focusing it on specifically towards Christmas. As we think about Christmas, there's lots of traditions. I don't know what you love to do, whether that's going to see all the lights or different feasts and times with family and friends, whatever it might look like. It is a special occasion. As best as I can tell historically, why is it now? Why did it start in the church calendar now? This is my best understanding, and if there's a better historical record, but my understanding is Jesus died in Passover season, right? He died around what we celebrate as Easter. The common belief in that time was you were especially holy if you were both conceived and died on the same day. Like, that was like a sign of like God's special blessing. And so an early bishop said, because Jesus was the most holy, we know that he was conceived around the time that Passover would have happened. So then 9 to 10 months later puts us, you know, right around here. I don't know if that's my best understanding. Why is it in this time and season? Why did it first originate? Whenever it was, if Jesus was born in August or if he was born in January or July, whenever it was, I think it is helpful for us to take a season to say, let's remember why this is a big deal, that God would become man, that Yahweh, the divine one, the one that is unapproachable light, he became a man that was approachable. And just this amazing gift that's in Christmas. And I don't know about you, when I was young, as soon as you see that little sticker tag on every present, what you do, right? As a kid, you go up and you go, who's that one for, right? And you try to find out, who's that gift for? And what we'd like to do over these next 3 weeks is to say, who's that gift for? Who's that gift from? Who is the identity? What is the character of God in the gift of Jesus as baby? Because that baby was a baby, but grew up into something different. That wasn't a baby. That grew up into a man in a ministry, in a mission, in a heart. And so as we look at that, and I recognize there's different kinds of gifts that you can get, right? Somebody was sharing with me, there's a big difference between a gift of a box of donuts and a gym membership. You could perceive both of them as gifts. One is to enjoy and consume something, and then you throw it away. The other is to become something. The other is an invitation to participate in becoming something different. And so whether it's gym or maybe it's guitar lessons or whatever it is, what we'd love for you to consider is the gift of Christmas isn't so much something to consume, like a box of donuts, but it's an invitation to become something. Would you like to walk into this? Okay? And so who Christmas is from. And so over these 3 weeks, we just want to look at these identities of who God is and what's his offer to you at Christmas, especially as we think and remember the condescension of Christ, that there's this offer. Would you like a shepherd? Would you like to join with a shepherd in your life? Would you like to have a king and take part in a kingdom? Would you like to understand God's divine son and all the rights and privileges that he has because he is that? So that's what we're going to be doing over these 3 weeks. Next week, Pat's going to be sharing about God and his identity as king. He's going to be sharing alongside with a friend of ours that we support as a church. A lot of us haven't met him, but we're excited to have all of us meet him. His name's Ryan. I think his wife Lindsay's going to be here too. No, just Ryan. Just Ryan will be here. They serve overseas in Malaysia, correct? And so the opportunity, if you'd like to, after the gathering next week, we're just going to have an informal meal after our gathering, have food for everybody. And just an opportunity for Ryan to share, here's what we see God doing across the world. If you'd like to hear that, or if a contingent of your family would like to hear that, that'll be after our gathering next week. But that's what we're looking at. This Christmas gift from God So if you're looking around, you go, who's that for? Who's that for? Who's that Christmas gift for? He goes, this Christmas gift is for my sheep. And it's from your shepherd. It's from the one that wants to shepherd your soul. So pray with me and we'll jump into this. Thank you, Jesus, that you did come as a humble baby. But your plan in becoming that baby is to grow into a shepherd's heart, to grow into one that would have the foresight and the wisdom, the strength to lead your sheep, to lead your people well. I pray that you would open up your word, open up our hearts to what you're inviting us to become, not just to consume. There are things that we need, daily needs, weekly needs that we need to just get into us. But more than that, Lord, you've asked us to partner and to look to you and to become and to abide, to walk with you into this. So I pray that as we do that, Lord, that we would sense your shepherding heart more with us, that we would fully own what it means to be your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. So it just so happens that at the time of Christmas that we record in Luke, that there were, in fact, real shepherds, not just spiritual, metaphorical shepherds. There were real shepherds that got to witness and take part in his birth. And so I'll do my best Linus impersonation. Sorry for my voice. It's been hoarse. I was screaming at Elizabeth's basketball game yesterday, trying to coach the girls to where they need to be. So it's a little rough this morning. But this is Luke 2 and the account of the shepherds in the same region. There were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So kind of what's interesting, right, is one, we don't even really get their names. They're just shepherds. So if you wanted to go back and be like, who are those shepherds that saw that? At least through this, we don't know. You'd have to go through more eyewitnesses. Go talk to Mary and Joseph. Say, do you remember what their names were? Like, which flock did they belong to? And so they're okay living in a little bit of anonymity. Interesting thing about sheep, unless you're really involved with them, you usually can't tell one from the other, right? They all just kind of look like sheep. And in the same way, I think it's just amazing. Just, I don't know if I'm reading too much into it. Just this idea of, one of the things that sheep really wrestle with through their whole life is great fear. Sheep are very scared animals. We're going to kind of see a little bit of demonstration in a video in a second about that. And these shepherds who regularly take care of sheep, who understand their fear, God comes in and strikes them with great fear. Here's real power. Here's real presence. Here's real glory. And they, the shepherds, who often are trying to help their sheep not get worried about all their little things, have to be told, don't fear. Don't fear. And all through Scripture, it's a very common metaphor. God looks at us as sheep. We are often very sheep-like. You're very sheeply. And for some of us, we go, boy, you say that one more time, I'm going to punch you in the face. I don't want to be no sheep. The reality is, we're sheep. The reality is, that's what God calls us. So what was that like to witness that? What's amazing, again, just kind of think through a little bit of these details. The shepherds didn't go, Oh, glory, glory. That is so amazing. Cool. Well, that's pretty sweet. It's a pretty cool experience. Don't you think, Bob? Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Don't you think, Fred? Yep. They acted on it. They followed it. They went and visited Mary and Joseph. So they not only heard the voice, they walked in it and followed it and obeyed it. Again, I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, but there is a shepherding heart that God has through his angels of the shepherds that they then walk in. This last summer, we spent a week just kind of a getaway rest time up near Steamboat, and we are going towards Hans Peak. Hans Peak is basically like north Colorado. You're just about to Wyoming. And as we're driving, we're on this like super far county road. I've never been there before. There's this whole flock of sheep just taking over this state highway, and a couple of sheepdogs and some shepherds. And I'm going, there's shepherds in Colorado? That's incredible. That is just incredible. They're still out there. They still do it. And they're just walking with their sheep, hanging out with them, trying to help them find good food for them to eat and to not get hit by vans and cars like ours, to protect them. So this morning, what I'd love for you to consider, what we're going to look at, is the gift of Christmas isn't necessarily just something to consume, wrap up, throw away, throw in your recycling bin. The gift of Christmas is to relate and become something. That's what Jesus came to do. And in Christmas, this morning, what I'd like to just say is, you need a shepherd. You need a shepherd for your life. I need a shepherd for my life. That's the gift of Jesus. That's what he came to do. He said, I want to come be your shepherd. What are the implications for that? We're going to look and dive into this. We're going to look at, first, his leadership. Shepherds lead through their presence, through their protection, through their provision. Shepherds have a leader's mindset. And that's Jesus' offer in Christmas to you. Would you like a leader for your life? A lot of times when I share my testimony of how I came to know Christ, I don't have that huge, you know, I was a drug lord and all these different things going on. But I can really associate, I was definitely a wandering around person with lack of direction, lack of purpose, lack of understanding what is my life even going towards. The thing that I really resonate with in my testimony is Jesus came in to shepherd me. He gave me direction. He gave me a focus and a path. So when you think about sheep, do you recognize that you are a relational herd animal? That's what God has called you. You're a relational herd animal. Some of us would say, I'd just much rather prefer to try to be like a mountain lion on my own, hunting. I would too if we could change our DNA. I don't think we are. I think God is right when he says that we are sheep. Sheep tend to have bad vision. They tend to have really good peripheral vision, but like straight on, they've got really bad vision because their eyes are on the side, right? They tend to follow constantly in everything, and they are defenseless being alone. How does that sit with you? I am defenseless if I am alone. That doesn't feel very strong. It doesn't feel very secure. But for me to say, left to myself, without my wife, without my kids, without Pat, without others speaking into my life, completely defenseless, without God in his presence, I need his divine guidance. Have you committed your heart, your ways, to be shepherded? Is that something that you often do? Would you say, God, I need your shepherding in this decision. Very specifically, would you please help lead me? I need leadership. I need sight. I have bad vision for where I should go. I'm hearing these voices of what I should follow, but I want to hear your voice. I want to hear the voice of the shepherd. And have you committed to the herd of God? To the flock of God? Other sheep are stinky. Let's just be honest. Sheep are stinky, and the sheep next to you right now, there's probably some smell spiritually that comes off of them. But we're sheep. We're God's flock. We belong to him. So going back to this story in Luke 2, I don't think it's just happenstance. I think there's this pattern in shepherding and with sheep. Scripture kind of lays out there's kind of two paths. Sheep who constantly go astray, each to their own way, that are just wandering and fickle and constantly need tending. And then there's sheep that hear voice of shepherd, stay close to shepherd, want to follow the shepherd. And how do we, in Christmas, in this season, how are you working hard to hear the voice of the shepherd? Primarily, I think it's through the word. Primarily, we hear it primarily through what he's already said. So that when situations come up and we go, boy, there's no Bible story about that, I know the shepherd's voice kind of sounds like this. That seems in line with the shepherd's voice in this situation. But if we know the shepherd's voice through his word, what he's shared, we're able to follow. We're able to go that. When scripture says we're like sheep that go astray, I don't think that it's intending for us to keep thinking that way even after we've come to the shepherd. Does that make sense? I know we have these poles in our flesh and we can get just really confused. But I think there's a different trajectory for those that say, I want Jesus to be my shepherd. That it's not every day, I'm going astray, I'm going astray, I'm going astray, I'm going astray, I'm going astray. Does that make sense? That's a description of a sheep before they've come under that commitment to the shepherd's voice. There's a different default now that we go, I hear a voice and I follow it, and I obey it, I walk in it. That's my normal. Right? Jesus said this. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. Listen to kind of this understanding Jesus has for being a shepherd. They hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. The sheep follow him. It's this expectation. The sheep have no longer said, I'm going to go my own way. I really want to go do this thing that's not what your will is. There's this place of belonging as a sheep now that go, I love being shepherded by Jesus, to follow him because I know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So what's fascinating, again, I am not like a huge ag guy. I didn't grow up in an ag environment. For 2 years, I was sharing with Scott, we had llamas and pigs. Those are very different than sheep. In my understanding, sheep don't tend to spit on you when you get too close to them. But my understanding is sheep love to be led. They love to have somebody out in front showing the way versus like driving cattle, right? Like you are like forcefully moving them. There's a cattle drive is a lot more intense. Versus what he says here is the shepherd goes out in front. So there's a tenderness, there's an example, and there's a don't fear, I've gone before you in this. Follow my lead. Because, like sheep, we're so easily scared. We are so easily scared. And what happens when we get scared is we paralyze. And we go, I can't do anything. And so what happens when sheep get scared? They freeze. They literally can't do anything. Their brains short circuit, and they go completely paralyzed. This is what fear brings to sheep. That's funny, but actually, if you see your face when you get that bad email, when you get that text, it's probably very similar for me too. We're just very induced into fear quite easily. So rather than saying, yeah, I'm a mountain lion, like I could do whatever I want, reality is we're prone to fear, and God knows that. So what would you tell those sheep? If you're able to speak in sheep talk, would you be like, just don't freak out, right? Or, which they probably don't have the hardware to do that. They don't have the wiring. Or to say, make sure you guys stay close to the shepherd. If you stay close to the shepherd, there's nothing to fear. You are defenseless as a sheep. You're defenseless. No matter how skilled, gifted, strong, capable, whatever you feel like you are, the Bible would say you're defenseless spiritually. unless you stay close to the shepherd. That is your defense. Hearing the shepherd's voice and walking with him. So, inviting his leadership. This is what your shepherd calls for. This is what he's asked you to walk in as the herd of God. For your trust in him. Often those sheep are probably going to be like, I ain't going over there. No way, no how. But I can trust my shepherd if he's calling me there. Over this panic, over this fear, over what I might be tempted to. The shepherd's calling for you to belong to him, to see yourself attached to him. Not on your desires, but based on where he's calling over your independent living. He's calling for your obedience. He's calling for you to follow. That it's not every day I'm a sheep that goes astray. Every day I'm a sheep that goes astray. That you start to learn these patterns of following and hearing his voice over a spirit of non-cooperation. There's a call for us, I hope you hear it in this Christmas time, is true humility. It is not a sexy thing. It's not a glamorous thing in America to go, hey, I'm a sheep. I love being a sheep. Right? There are like bumper stickers about not being sheep. Our whole principle of government was we're not going to be controlled. We are going to understand what our rights are. I totally agree with all of that. But spiritually, George Washington was a sheep. Paul Revere was a sheep. Your greatest heroes are sheep. Just like you and just like me. Can I own that? How does that sit with you to go, I am proud to be a sheep of Jesus? Can you say that? I am so proud to be a sheep of Jesus. Because our tendency is to go, no way, no how, no way, I'm not no sheep. Well, there is an anti-herd. If you read through the whole story, there's another person's voice in this world that is calling people to follow him. That is not the true shepherd. And so even though when we go, I am my own person, I can do and think and be all without anybody else, that's actually the same voice of the anti-herd, the anti-shepherd, the devil, who would call us after his ways. We are sheep. We will follow one shepherd or another, whether that be God's ordained shepherd, Jesus, or another one. He's calling for our heart of thankfulness, grumbling and discontent, and calling for our posture of goodwill over resentment. This is what Jesus would like to lead you in. So when you see the little baby Jesus, this is all wound within his agenda and within his heart to lead you into these things. That's what he represents, that shepherd for your life, for your soul. Like I mentioned, there's this idea, don't be no sheep. The last thing you'd want to be, right, is a sheep. This is a bumper sticker. I've seen it on lots of different cars. I'm not dogging on the bumper sticker. So here's the idea. This whole raise lions, don't raise sheep. I would say probably 3 out of every 4 times Scripture talks about a lion, it's talked about in a negative light. There are some positive qualities to lions, but usually lions are portrayed as those that prey on others, terrorize others, have in Proverbs, they have teeth and a tongue. Their words are like fangs. They're tearing down. Your devil, the enemy, prowls around like a roaring lion. So there's a spirit of like, be strong, be assertive, take control, be active. I'd agree with all those adjectives. Could we be those things as God's sheep? And even with our kids, when you think about, would you want to raise your kid as a sheep or a lion? In my flesh, I know immediately I go, oh, I'd rather have the lion, right? But that's my thinking. That's not based on God's wisdom. To recognize they will be imprinted, they will be led by somebody. The posters on their wall, the celebrity figures they look up to, all of those will be their shepherding voice. We can't escape the DNA that God's given us. We are relational herd animals. Your kids are relational herd animals. Are you helping them to hear the shepherd's voice, to walk with him? Okay, we need a shepherd for his leadership. We need a shepherd for Jesus' correction. Oh boy, that baby came to earth to correct me? But I'm older than that baby. Yes, that baby came on earth to shepherd and correct us, to bring a gentle yet firm, sometimes very strong hand into our life that says, I will not let you ruin your life. I will not let you ruin your life. Come be with me. One of the probably best known, if not the best known psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd, makes me lie down. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff of correction comforted David. That's just so counterintuitive to how we view correction. And in our hearts, can we get to a place where we go, I know I need a shepherd. I am so freaked out if I were to live my life with no help, with no shepherd. Can you imagine nobody caring about which direction you would go? Nobody caring if you're on a path of ruin? Nobody that would want to say, let me just bring you back in here. And I know that seems appetizing, but that's not going to go well for you. That comforts us. Comforts me. Lord, you're going to look out for me. You're going to help bring me, knock me over the head with a 2x4 if you need to. What do I need so I can keep on this path with you? The rod and the staff comfort. What do the rod and the staff do? They stabilize the sheep when they are going astray. It's this outside force that we go, why is this pinching in on my life? Why is this pinching in on my schedule? Why is this pinching in on my relationships, my finances? I'd rather get away from this. And it's this outside force that stabilizes and says, just hold tight right there. I got some work I need to do on you. Whether that's physically or whatever it might be, but to get you what you really need. To own the promise of Christmas, Jesus as shepherd, is to also say, Jesus, I need your leadership. Jesus, I need your correction. I'm inviting you to correct me when I need that. Through your word, through your spirit, through other people. Again, let's hear about what this actually looks like. This is a real shepherd. This is a guy in Tennessee, shepherds a flock. He's got some thoughts. He's a believer on what that looks like.
Morning, hope you're doing well. It's a beautiful day over here on Namrak Farms, just hanging out here again. Got Precious over here trying to get her used to being back over here at the place with the other sheep. Takes a little time, a little effort, hanging out over here to make sure she's not panicking or having any stress or anxiety. But that's part of it. Love it. Enjoy it. I was asked a question last week about the rod. You know, in Psalm 23, it mentions thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we all know the rod is known as the rod of correction. Somebody said, is it true that shepherds in biblical days would use a rod to break the leg of a wandering sheep so it would no longer wander from the flock? And the answer is yes, it's true. But the answer to it was also given when they asked the question. They said, is it true that they do that so that when the lamb is carried by the shepherd, when the leg mends, it's been close to the shepherd so long, it will stay close to the shepherd? The answer to that is yes. That was one of the reasons. But there was also a greater reason. You see, if that sheep, that lamb, kept wandering off, kept going its own way, it was opening itself up to predator attack. It was opening itself up to being lost forever. And it's opening itself up to being lonely. And it also possibly would lead others astray. So the shepherd, out of love, would take his rod of correction and break the leg. Then he would carry that lamb on his neck until that leg was healed. And then that lamb would always stay close to the shepherd. And the good shepherd, sometimes, he takes the rod of correction. Not out of meanness, not out of anger. It's always out of love. Because I'm going to tell you something. I had to carry a lamb once. This lamb, we called him Rascal. He just kept busting through the fences. And one day he got caught. And he hurt himself. And he couldn't walk. So I grabbed that lamb and threw him over my shoulders to carry him to the building so he could get rest and heal. And on the way to the building where he was going to rest and heal, he pooped and he peed all over me. Have you ever thought about that? The shepherd who had to carry the lamb whose leg was broken, he had to endure the filth of the poop and the pee all over him. And he wasn't like he was going home to get a shower real quick. They lived for days, even weeks out in the field with their sheep. So they would have to live with that filth and live with that mess until they could come into another place they could get cleaned up. But they said, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it because we love our sheep. And the good shepherd says it's worth it. When he has to correct us, he says it's worth it even to carry them through their filth and their mess because I love my sheep. Go enjoy the shepherd. I'll see you soon.
Out of love. To join to that shepherd is to join to someone who will correct you. That's what you join with, this baby Jesus. And I don't know about you. I know there are things in me that God's had to, like, break. I was a pretty mean-spirited jokester as a kid. I could find a sweet spot of what you might feel insecure about or what's been going on in your life and then make a really cutting joke. God had to break that in me. That was painful. That I found my identity as this funny person, right? That was witty. And God goes, I'm going to correct that. I'm going to break that because that's going to lead, you're going to ruin your life, Nathan, doing that. You are going to ruin your life by doing that. Are there things that God has had to break within you? This broken steering wheel, this alignment that goes always off, always off. And in love, he goes, I love you too much to let you just go astray. I will bring you back. I will bring you back. And in this moment, it's going to be painful. All the times that I've gone through where I feel like God's breaking me, so to speak, he's correcting in such a raw way. The opportunity, right, is to go, Lord, I must not know you fully. I must not have your full heart. I need to know you more. I need to be able to hear your heart more. That people's weaknesses are not my opportunity for slamming. That must be a part of your heart I haven't yet got. Would you give me that heart? Would you give me your character in that? So maybe another way to say this is, if you're truly following the shepherd of your soul, are there things that he's corrected in you? Are you in the process right now of being corrected in something? Is your loving shepherd right now trying to help you see you're exposing yourself to complete danger and not with the shepherd if you walk in this? Can you receive that with thankfulness? Can you receive that even in the pain of what that feels like? Your identity of what you thought it was built on. Those are painful moments, but don't waste your trials. Don't waste your trials. Those are the moments that God gets to form in a crucible a new creation, is when you're going through that. Psalm 95, he is our God. We are the sheep of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. God's plan to correct us, to say, even though you left Egypt and you had all the great food and for some reason you look back on that slavery with so much fondness, I love you too much to let you go back to that. But the spirit of cooperation with the shepherd would be to say, I don't want to put you to the test every day, Lord. I don't want to put you to the proof. Well, God, if you really loved me, then this would happen in my life right now. God, if you were really for me, then these situations would unfold. Remember, he's not giving you a box of donuts. He's inviting you into a relational experience to belong and to become something. That's the promise of Christmas. You get to become God's sheep, close to the shepherd's heart. Is that what would be appealing to you? Is that what you would like? Does that seem like losing your life for, to gain that? All right, we're going to finish this morning. Why we need a shepherd? Why good news of Christmas came to us? This is where we find our identity, is attaching to the shepherd. This is where we find who we are, our significance, our value, our position, our standing. A sheep is only as valuable as the risk the shepherd is willing to take to pay for that sheep. Does that make sense? The shepherd is defining the value by how much they'll do for that sheep. And what Christ did on our behalf beginning with Christmas and consummating in his death, is show you what his value, what is God's estimation of a price tag on a sheep? If you were at an auction house, what would God be willing to bid for his sheep? That's what the life of Christ shows us. This is what God's estimation of your value and your worth and your identity is, what he went through. So as we belong and attach to his heart, here's a rhetorical / real question. What if you could somehow genetically modify sheep so that they never went astray? Somehow they got this new DNA where they loved always being with the shepherd. Like somehow you like program like you are, you know, shepherds 7843. And boop, 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 you type that into a sheep. And like the shepherd's like, I'm shepherd 7843. And then they just go, what do you need? Right? And they just had that. What if you could breed that into them, that they didn't constantly need a sheepdog bringing them around, that they had a sense of the shepherd's will. They appreciated and cherished the shepherd's sacrifice. What if you could do that? This is the cool thing. That's what God has done in the gospel. He's given you a new heart, a new identity, a new allegiance, a new orientation towards him. So that it's not every day my default is I'm a sheep that goes astray. The opportunity as you root yourself in your identity, why we're spending all this time, all these weeks talking about identity so much, is because that's the opportunity in the gospel, is for you to be able to wake up and go, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Spirit. I know I've got my flesh to put to death, but my heart, my will today is to walk with you. What would that look like with my coworkers, with my family, with that person that always does that one thing? The things that are hard. I think that's what the gospel is. Is that your normal? And as you think about what does that discipline require, there are things that might be crowding out the shepherd's voice for this to become a normal thing for you. What I'd love for you to consider is what are the voices in your life? And maybe you wouldn't say, I am a sheep of this YouTube channel. I am a sheep of this podcast. I'm a sheep of this book author. I am a sheep of this political figure. You probably wouldn't say that. But when that person speaks, do you follow all the time? When that person says, come do this, is your prompt to go do that? That might be a sign that that's who I'm really following. Versus this orientation towards God, towards his word, towards his heart. Jesus' heart towards you this Christmas is to be that shepherd. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So there are other shepherds that want your allegiance. There are other voices. A lot of them in a Christianized, sanitized way. Come care about this more than anything else. Come do this and leave all your relationships just to do this. This is what really matters. Is that the shepherd's voice? Who are you truly following as a sheep? And I just love for you to consider this month of December, of Christmas, Lord, could I scrape away if there's other voices that are trying to steal, kill, and destroy my affection for you, my allegiance to you, my ability to hear from you? I just want your voice. I want a pure and sincere devotion to you, Jesus. The shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. The good news of Christmas is that the shepherd became a sheep. That's what the incarnation is about. The shepherd became a sheep. How many of you guys would be willing to become like a dog? Not just like a dog, but become a dog. And not be able to communicate, and all you've got to say is rough. That translates to everything. Your bark is everything. That's what Christ did. As God became man, he lowered himself. He abased himself to become that which he was trying to save. He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced For our transgressions, he was crushed. For our iniquities, upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. You have gone astray. I have gone astray. All of us have. The son that was born has come to bring back his sheep. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The one that is the shepherd of the universe, the shepherd of your souls today, became like a lamb. Helpless, defenseless, could have called 12 legions of angels to be that mountain lion and defend his cause, and he didn't. Entrusted himself to his Father. At Christmas, can we entrust ourselves afresh? You are shepherding my life, Jesus. It's looked different than when I first started following you at whatever age. But at this age, at this time, in this season, I entrust my identity, my attachment to you. Where I'd love to just finish is Jesus will forever in eternity be known as the Lamb. That is his title. The Lamb that was slain. He owns that identity of being a sheep. Do you think that that is offensive to be thought of as a sheep? Your Savior, his title is Lamb. His title is Sheep of God, the anointed sheep. So that I can own that. I can wear that proudly. I am proud to be a sheep of Jesus. Whatever he calls me to and asks me to do, I follow. Well, don't you want to be a lion? If I could, I would, but I can't. I'm proud to be a sheep of Jesus. I follow him. The lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Jesus, thank you that the offer of Christmas, the identity that you've placed on us is sheep, followers, and the price that you're willing to pay, our worth, is shown in your death. That God would submit himself and become obedient to the point of death shows you what you esteem of my life in connection with me and of all of us together as your people. I thank you, Lord, that we find our identity, we can find joy in being a sheep of Jesus, even in a world that says that is so not glamorous, that is so boring. But I want to unite with what your heart is, what your wisdom is, and to hear from your voice. The exciting life is being close to the shepherd, the protected life, the corrected life, the life that finds abundance is being the sheep that's close to the shepherd. So I pray over this month, over our lives, that we would own that, that we just want to stay in step with our shepherd. We want to stay in step with you, Jesus, because we know that with you is goodness and good life, abundant life. So thank you for this morning. Thank you. I just welcome you, Lord, to shepherd my life. Come be my leader. Come be my shepherd in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great rest of your day. Just a reminder, next week, if you'd like to come and listen with Ryan, spend some time. We'll have a lunch after the gathering. Yeah, next week is not a potluck. So if you're planning to come to the lunch with Ryan, there's no expectation that you're going to bring. It should be a great time.